Welcome to episode 247 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on September 10th, 2021. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. This week, Scott and Ben have a little geek out episode about upgrading your remote call quality. We talk about mics, audio interfaces, wireless, and striving for the best audio quality in Microsoft Teams and Zoom. We were just talking about how audio is hard. Recording audio is hard.
Audio is way harder than it should be. It's a tough sort of thing. And you and I, we might as well just get into this. You and I have spent an inordinate amount of time on stupid setups for Zoom calls and team calls.
I would also go inordinate amount of time and money. Like, it also has not been a free endeavor that you have gotten us into.
Well,
or we have gotten ourselves into.
Yeah, I'm going to go with we have gotten ourselves into it. But at some point in pandemic life here, I got it in my head that I should be able to live this cord-free life. I shouldn't have to be on the microphone on my laptop or my PC, which is horrible. Like, nobody likes built-in microphones. Those are kind of trash.
Yep.
I don't want to necessarily always use the Jabra Puck kind of thing, the conference call solution. Frankly, it sounds like you're on a conference call, and that's not always the most ideal situation either. So don't get me wrong. I absolutely love this little Jabra Puck that I have. I think I have a Jabra 510. There's a bunch of them out there. There's
yes, because you got me to buy the 510
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's a 400 series, a 500, a 700. They are all great. They're awesome. So I love, absolutely love this little Jabra device. That being said, it sounds like you're on a conference call. And when you're on a conference call, that's okay. But it turns out that you want to do things that aren't always a conference call. In your case, that might be presenting a training session. Like, you're going to go out and do some training for somebody, and you want to have the best audio quality kind of shining through so your students can do that. Or yep. If I'm making a presentation, and it could be like an informal conference call presentation, but maybe it's one of our org meetings, you know, it's got 200 people on it. I want to kind of put the best forward that I can there, both in my presentation style and the content I present, but as well as the way I sound. I don't want to sound like I'm always in that tin can kind of conference call thing. And I'm not in a sound treated room or anything else like that. So it becomes difficult. Like, I don't want to hang a bunch of blankets. I'm not going to move my office into a closet just when I do random calls. Like, it's a whole thing. So the Jabra really got me down the path of, this is awesome. I can effectively have this hands-free, decent audio quality life. So the Jabra Puck sits in front of me. It is both my microphone and my speaker when I'm on calls. And that works out swimmingly well. Like, it's good. People can always hear me. They know what's going on. But in the back of my head, I know that that's not the same audio quality that you're hearing me with over this Zoom call, or you're potentially hearing me with on the podcast, because I'm using a microphone, like a proper dynamic microphone on a boom arm. It's swung out in front of me. Your microphone sitting in front of your face. We both have in-ear or over-ear headphones on. So now there's a whole lot of setup. It's just in the video, it's in the way, and it's not very freeing. You know, like, if I want to get up
right,
and move around, like, even if I want to turn my head to the side, I'm wearing big headphones, things like that.
Yep. Well, even the monitors, right? Like, I mean, I have monitors scattered and you can't see me, but as I'm turning, sometimes that'll mess with my audio too, where I'm looking at a different monitor if I'm doing a presentation or somebody's presenting, and that'll mess with your audio when you're in our setup. Because for me, I move more than 6 inches, a foot away from my mic, and the sound all changes and all of that. So it is, it's that boat where I'm like you, I use the Jabra for conference calls. If I'm on a conference call, I use it. I can walk around the room, I can move my hands, I can back up, I can move forward, I can look around. It sounds the same. But it's not ideal for those scenarios. Like you said, presenting, teaching, doing a virtual conference, any of those, which has led us down this path.
Yeah, the whole best foot forward scenario.
Spot by NetApp is the cloud automation platform that makes it easy to deliver continuously optimized infrastructure at the lowest possible cost. Spot helps their customers get the most out of their cloud investments by automating cloud infrastructure to ensure performance, reduced complexity, and optimized costs. Their machine learning and automation scale to exactly meet application needs using the most efficient mix of instances and pricing models, eliminating the risks of over-provisioning and cloud waste. Best of all, their software works with leading cloud platforms, services, and tools so that you can simplify and automate your cloud infrastructure wherever your workloads and applications run and however you run them. Discover how leading companies from cloud-native startups to global enterprises are automating, simplifying, and optimizing their cloud infrastructure with Spot by NetApp. Check them out at spot.io/MSIT, where you can find more information, request a demo, or even start a free trial.
So that has led me down the path of what are other potentially freeing solutions that exist out there that can take me above the quality of the Jabra, potentially, to the quality of a dynamic mic that's sitting right in front of my face on a boom arm. Like, is there anything that can kind of sort of maybe get me there? Even if it's an almost but not quite kind of thing. So that led me down a path of looking at alternate microphones. Like, one of the disadvantages of a dynamic microphone is for most of these, you really have to have your face or your mouth within 1 inch to 2 inches of the microphone to get it to sound consistently the way you want it. So you talked about you want to turn your head or go 6 inches one way. Like, if I start turning to the side, all of a sudden, you know, off-axis rejection gets weird and I really can't move that far away. Like, if I wanted to move 6 inches back from my microphone, that's a big thing. I'd have to turn up the gain. I get a lot of background noise and hiss coming through my audio interface. It's a whole thing. So what's the solution when you want to be able to have a microphone that can pick up your voice, but it can also be more than 2 inches away from you? And that led me down the path of saying, well, let's take a look at shotgun microphones. So shotgun microphones, you've probably seen them before. If you've ever seen like a movie being shot or a TV show, video, things like that, maybe somebody on the news, when they're holding up a boom arm and they've got that big microphone hanging off the end and it's a big long microphone, it might have a big dead cat on it, like foam or something that actually looks like a big dead cat.
You mean they named it like it looks like?
For wind rejection or something like that. But those microphones are really good at allowing you to be inches away from your subject to potentially feet. They work in multiple environments. Some shotgun mics are really good at indoor, some are really good at outdoor, some are kind of muddled at both, but you can kind of pull it off. So there's some things with a shotgun microphone that are really freeing about that setup. So I can swing the boom arm out of my way. The dynamic mic can go to the side. It's still an XLR microphone, so it gets to run through the same audio interface. That's great. That's all coming up aces so far. But the problem with that I've run into with shotgun microphones, and you have run into as well, since I convinced you to buy one of the same ones that, like, one of the same type that I was into, it's so long, and the pickup pattern on a shotgun mic, you end up with this kind of supercardioid or cardioid pickup pattern where if it's pointed at you, it's great. Like, it's going to pick up the things that are directionally going straight into it. Like, that's the whole idea of a shotgun mic. Think about, like, you're going to stand there with the shotgun and shoot it. And even if it sprayed out, like you had birdshot in it, it's still going to spray out in a known pattern. And as long as you're kind of standing in that pattern, you can kind of figure out where the sound is going to go in a shotgun mic. But they also have like little slits on the side. So I forget the term for them, but effectively shotgun mics in their pickup pattern, they can pick up reverb from around the room based on off-axis noises that are coming in. So in, you know, say you're in a 10-foot by 10-foot room, so 100 square feet, you have no treated walls or anything like that. If you speak and your voice is directionally going out, most of it's going to make it into that shotgun mic, but anything that goes all the way over to the wall behind you and then bounces back is going to come in as reverb. Or even worse, the things in your voice that are going out to the side are also coming in on the sides and coming in as reverb. And then on a shotgun mic, it's kind of even worse because you're standing in front of the shotgun mic, so it's totally picking up the sound in front of it, which is what you want. But it turns out as your voice goes forward and hits the wall in front of you, then it comes back and hits the wall behind you, and then it comes in again to the mic, like you get even more reverb that way. So I love the idea of the shotgun mic. Like, it is totally freeing. You throw it on a boom arm, it goes above your head. So you and I are on video right now, but if I point my finger up, I'm maybe like 6 to 8 inches away from my head. There's a shotgun mic right up there, and I can totally use that shotgun mic for Zoom calls, for Teams calls, things like that. Just run them through my audio interface. There's a couple downsides to the shotgun mic. So one is that it picks up off-axis noises and it picks up reverb. I'm also at the mercy of my collaboration client or my audio, like whatever auto conferencing solution I'm in, to do any noise reduction rejection at that point. So in the case of like my shotgun is pointed at me, but really me is like down by my desk, and sitting on my desk is something like the Jabra. So I still need to have a speaker source so I can hear the people on the other side. So with the shotgun, I'm either still stuck wearing headphones, or if I turn on my Jabra puck as a speaker, which is what I really want to do, because I don't care if people sound tinny on the other end, I just don't want to sound tinny on mine. There's the potential that if the noise canceling in, say, Zoom or Teams isn't working or great that day, then I'm the bad person on the conference call who's causing all the echo.
So I've gone a little further with my shotgun, because like you said, I have the same shotgun, and you do, you get that same problem. And we tried some of the podcasts with our shotgun, and if you listen to some of them, we'll figure out, maybe we can figure out what episode it is and link it in the show notes. I don't remember. You do hear a little bit more of that room echo. And I've even gone to the extent here where I have 5 sound panels scattered around the room at about my head level to try to help with some of that noise bouncing around. And I've gone out and bought a couple DBX 286Ss that give me some compressing, some gates, some expanders that can also help try to filter out some of that background noise. Again, going back to, we have also spent some money on this. All of that stuff starts adding up over time. And I feel like I've gotten my shotgun tuned in pretty well and probably about as good as I can get. I also don't actually directly face a wall. I'm at about 45 degrees to a wall. So in theory, I don't get it bouncing back and forth quite as much because I'm not straight onto a wall. But it still, to your point, doesn't sound quite as good as this. And I have not gotten to the point where I can do similar to what you're talking about, where I could effectively filter out some type of speakerphone that allows me a little bit more flexibility. I can put on a headset. I have also done it with like AirPods before, like a Bluetooth earphone, where I can shove that in my ear. So that's about the closest I've achieved. Bunch of sound panels, some filters, expanders, gates with a shotgun, and some AirPods in my ear. And for me, it's definitely better than the Jabra, but it still doesn't sound quite as good as I think it could, which is where we are today.
Yeah. So I just need it to sound a little bit better. So
I have a solution for you, Scott.
I know. So this takes us even further down the rabbit hole and the path of, well, if a dynamic microphone's the sound you want, but you don't want to use a dynamic mic because of all the things we've talked about, like, you know, audio interface and boom arm in your face and all those kinds of things. And a shotgun mic's going to have too much reverb. There are other options out there. So there's things like pencil mics, which should help with like having way better off-axis rejection. Might even take care of a good portion of the reverb on a shotgun mic, but then a good pencil mic probably, yeah, like we're sinking further down the hole of the money thing and not guaranteed to work, like not 100% versatile, maybe in all the ways that you might want it to be at the end of the day. So that's one option and one path to go down. Another one might be to look at better kind of dedicated audio conferencing things. Like, hey, this Jabber Puck's good, but there's lots of companies that make things like this. I just don't know that anybody's going to have anything that really sounds any better short of going to like a wired headset on my head, which I don't want to do for those conference calls anyway. And that kind of takes us down to lavaliers or lavs.
Yes.
Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business.
And to be fair, I have actually looked at these. There's a whole bunch of different ways you could go. I would be lying if I said I have not gone out and looked at like Shure, UHF, wireless, lavalier microphone systems with a headworn mic.
So expensive.
It is. And I have done audio engineering in the past. I've done it for church. I've done it for different events. So I've experienced some of what you can accomplish with these. But to your point, it is. You end up very quickly sinking several hundred dollars into one of those systems, and they're good. They sound great. Like, you get a good Shure wireless UHF belt pack, you put a good lavalier headworn mic on, it sounds good, but it is also still a condenser mic. And using these in different environments, you can still get some bleed through with those too. And to be fair, I'm not sure it's worth like $700-ish dollars or so to me to go that route. And you still end up with that problem because it's a condenser mic, it's headworn, it still might pick up some of that speakerphone audio. So I don't know that it's worth the trial for me to test that out. But then there's also some other less expensive options that we have both been considering. And I've seen some other people in our sphere of influence or our SharePoint, old SharePoint, not all of them are in SharePoint anymore, our SharePoint, Office 365, Azure tech bubble, talking more and more about these Rode wireless Go mics.
I think there's a couple things. So there's the Rodes, and I've also seen a bunch of people, like I've greatly contemplated going this way as well. Just getting maybe a wired lav, and with like a super long cable, like a 20-foot cable, and that would probably be okay. So do a wired lav, super long cable, and, you know, just like a USB interface.
Yeah, but you still end up tied to your desk then. Like, I can just imagine you walking around and like tripping over the cable or your dog coming in and...
You do to a certain degree. That's one way to do it. The other is there's companies that if you're, you know, you want to go down this path and you're willing to kind of get into something that's maybe a more proprietary ecosystem. So the thing with like most lavaliers is they have standard connectors. They, you know, work across the ecosystem. So if you do something like get a Rode Wireless Go, it will work with a Shure lavalier. Like, you might need a converter, but you can totally do it, make it work. But some of these cheaper ones, you know, you end up in this like $30 to $50 range. You end up with, you know, custom connectors and wiring and things like that. But like, there's one of them that I've seen recommended a couple times. It's a USB receiver that plugs in. So just USB 2, USB-A receiver that plugs into your computer. And then it has a wireless little pack that you just wear and, you know, clip the lav to yourself and go ahead and do it. It's a little mic that can just kind of do what it needs to. without potentially having to go down something like the road path, which is $300 today, $299 for a Rode Wireless Go 2. But so I think there's a couple different ways you could look at it. But I'm like you, I'm leaning towards the Rode more heavily, just because I know if I spend the money on it, I'll probably use it for one or two other things for some of the other toys that I've picked up lately.
Yeah, I agree. And we've talked about it even from like the podcasting, if we ever go to an in-person conference again in 2 or 3 or 4 years, maybe we should wait. Who knows what? They'll be on the Rode Wireless Go 3 by then. But those could come in super handy from that perspective of being able to do interviews, using it at conferences to do stuff for the podcast there. So I'm with you. That's the way I'm leaning. One of the conferences I was at, one of the hybrid conferences, we did have one of the USB lavs where it's like plug in the USB-A, use the wireless lav. I tried it. Truth be told, my AirPods over Bluetooth worked better than that USB lav mic.
There could be things there. Interference is a thing.
Yes. And if you have anything like our house where you have wireless signals flying all over the place and microwaves and cell phones and all of that, like I don't know if you're going to be in that $50, $60 range for a USB wireless lav. That's right. I don't know that it's going to be quite that quality that I would be looking for. I think you're probably better off, even though $300 is a lot, getting something like that. That's just kind of been my 2 cents based on my experience and what I've seen, read, looked at.
Yeah, I think that's a good kind of assessment of it. So at the end of the day, let's kind of take this maybe away from us and how folks can think about this on the outside. If you're looking to up your quality with remote audio inside of some of this audio conferencing software like Zoom, Teams, Google Meet, things like that, there's certainly a spectrum. Like if you are somebody who uses your built-in laptop microphone today, or maybe say like you're on an iMac and you have a built-in microphone on that, I would almost say like throw that out and go get yourself maybe like a decent Bluetooth headset or even like a wired headset. Like yes, you'll be tethered to your computer, but you have other options there along the way to make your audio sound better. And then maybe you want to look at something like some of the Puck solutions like a Jabra that Ben and I talked about. Maybe you want to go to like a certified Teams device like a Yealink or something like that. Like there's all sorts of things out there, and you can spend as little or as much money as you want to in those areas. You can certainly also go down the path of what I would say, like Ben and I are almost doing, where you know we're not on like Twitch or YouTube streaming or anything like that, but we're effectively going down the path of like, hey, let's be Twitch or YouTube streamers without just the Twitch or YouTube thing in it. And, yep. And really like streaming for us is getting into that conference call and, you know, making sure that all the settings for everything are dialed in along the way. And if you're thinking like, this is all crazy and you don't need to spend money on it, like you're great with your laptop microphone, I can guarantee you, you aren't. Like that's not good. But you might actually have another better microphone on you. Like if you want to try something to really improve your all call quality, I don't know if you can do this with Teams or with Zoom, but I do it with Teams all the time. So with Teams, you can join a Teams call from multiple devices at the same time. So I can join the Teams call on my computer, and I can also join from my iPad or my iPhone. And those have excellent microphones on them. Like you think about being on a speakerphone call with somebody like an HD call, those are pretty clear. And those come through like way better than your internal laptop microphone would anyway. So if you're really looking like, and I do this sometimes, like when I'm in another room or I don't have my Jabra, I'll join on my main device, like my laptop in front of me. And then I'll just plunk my iPad on a stand next to me or down on the table. And I'll join the same call from that. And I will use my iPad for the audio and I'll use my laptop to do the presentation and viewing along the way.
Yep.
That works out pretty well in a pinch.
And I can confirm you can do that with Zoom, because I have done that with Zoom too, where I've even had it where like, for whatever reason, my headset, my audio is just giving me fits any particular day. And same thing, join from an iPhone, just dial into the meeting, use a phone call, or if your internet's being flaky, right? That's one of the biggest issues I've also seen with audio in these conference calls is your internet, your kids are all home watching Netflix and YouTube and playing Minecraft and all of that, and your internet can't handle everything going over it. Like, pick up your phone, make a normal phone call into these meetings. And I can guarantee even that is going to improve the sound quality just by nature of not using a already struggling internet connection.
Oh, for, yeah, 100% for sure.
So, Scott, do you know how many files are shared outside your organization? Or are you sure that every team in your Microsoft 365 tenant has a valid owner? Guess what? ShareGate's got your back. After helping thousands of customers move to Office 365, they've learned that success in the cloud involves more than just migration. That's why they created ShareGate Apricot, an automated governance platform for Microsoft Teams and Microsoft 365 groups. ShareGate Apricot can help you answer questions like these without planning unnecessary restrictions on your users. With ShareGate Apricot, you get full visibility across each team's lifecycle from creation all the way through to archival. You can automate manual tasks involved in identifying problem areas like inactive or orphan teams. And you can collaborate with team owners on corrective measures to keep your teams tidy and secure. That's also why they've combined ShareGate Desktop, their trusted migration and content management tool, with ShareGate Apricot in a single subscription so that you have everything you need to be successful in the Microsoft cloud. And then the other thing is, we haven't talked about this in this whole mix of things, Scott, and we have a few minutes left, is we've talked about all these mics that we're using. Like, I have the Rode Procaster. I can't keep track of which one you're using right now.
Yeah.
You can put a link.
I'll put links to all these kinds of things. So there are like wide spectrums that you can run with all of these things. So like things like microphones, when you sit down and you start to talk to them, like Ben uses a Rode Procaster, which is, let's see, that is, if I can find one.
I don't know. You can look, but you have,
you use a pod mic, right? The Procaster.
No, I use the Procaster. Oh. I do not use the pod mic. I use the Procaster. I looked at the pod mic. But that, our shotgun mics, you can keep looking that up, are all XLR based. So like,
they are.
Your mic, my mic, these don't plug straight into our computers. So if you are looking to go to this next level, you have to take into account some of these mics. I think the Podcaster might have USB-C on them. I know you've picked up some that do have USB, but if they don't, you need to get some type of an audio interface to actually take that shotgun mic, that pencil mic, the Procaster, and get from an XLR to like a USB-C connection. So I use the Scarlett, or the Focusrite Scarlett. Focusrite Scarlett. Yeah, I have to get the company and the product right. You use a Motu M2, but
yep,
that's another thing you do have to take into account if you're looking to kind of go that next step beyond a good headset or a puck or one of those. If you're going to get a professional mic, you need some way to get that professional mic into your computer.
Yeah.
Focusrites are great. I think you've been happy with your Motu.
Yeah, I would recommend, like, if you're going to go down this path, like, if you're looking at, you want to upgrade your microphone, before you go and buy an audio interface, like a USB pre that you can use with XLR. So you need to convert that analog signal on XLR to a digital signal over USB to get it into your computer and get it into your DAW, be recognized as a microphone on your PC or your Mac or whatever you're using. Before you go down that path, like, I would highly recommend taking a look at a dual interface microphone. So I'm a huge fan. Audio Technica has a line, it's their AT line. So they've got like the AT2005 USB, they've got the AT2100 USB. And what these are, like, the 2005 USB is an $80 microphone that does XLR and USB. So you can start out with just plugging your microphone into a boom arm or a stand or whatever you're going to do, plug it straight in over USB. Like, go ahead and skip the audio interface. You really don't need to start there 100%. Like, if your microphone has the flexibility. And then if you want to upgrade later and you do want to get an audio interface, well, you can keep using the same microphone. It can flip to XLR. You can kind of play with other microphones later along the way. And you can find like dual interface microphones like that for $50. But like, $80 to $100, you can get a really, really good microphone these days.
Yeah. And the other one, so if I was going to go back, the other one I might try, and this would go a step bebehind that, it's still a dual interface, is Shure came out with one, their MV7. That's an XLR USB dynamic podcasting mic. Again, it goes up. That one's like $250 on Amazon, but it does allow you then to go straight USB-C into your computer without that audio interface. And my understanding is this is essentially the same mic as their SM7B mic, only it's just dual.
It kind of is, but it isn't. Most people want like the SM7B because it's what you see in radio studios and it's what you're used to kind of like seeing as the professional microphone. Like, the reason I do the Audio Technica microphones, like the ATRs, is I've had an SM7B and I actually don't like the way my voice sounds on an SM7B. I like my voice better. It's more natural on these little ATRs. So I get to save myself money and it doesn't, you know, affect my ears in the same way that the Shure does. Much like you have the Rode Procaster, like the Rodes have their own sound versus any other one. Like, if you're going to sit down and you want a microphone that's a Shure microphone, like maybe get like an SM57. It's a microphone that's typically used to mic instruments, but that actually has the same exact pickup and internal as an SM7B. It just doesn't have the same cage and framing around it. And you can get those for like $50, but you do need the XLR interface to pick them up. But this is all to say, like, there are tons of ways to go ahead and like skin this one and figure it out. Like, the root point is you don't need a fancy audio interface. You can do all this stuff over USB. Like, maybe you do want to start with a microphone that is dual interface like that and lets you grow into things as you just move through.
Yep. And if you have any questions, reach out to Scott or I on Twitter, because as you can tell, we kind of enjoy talking about this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This is like our secret nerd hobby, Scott, is audio.
Yeah. As long as our wives don't know how much money we've spent on it, it's fine.
Shh. It's a secret. It's a business expense.
Something like that. I need to get one of those businesses to have an expense.
You should. Oh, but yes, that is rabbit hole. That's been like a rabbit hole over the last 2 or 3 years at least. Because I would say we started down this rabbit hole long before even COVID.
Oh, yeah. We've been doing this for a long, long time now.
But with that, we should probably wrap up because I have a meeting coming up today. I have back-to-back meetings. I have not had lunch yet.
All right. If you say so. But so I'll throw this out there. Like,
okay.
Ben and I, we did go down this whole rabbit hole. The other one that we've both gone down is cameras and that are dual purpose. Like, well, I think in your case, primarily video focused, but I've been looking more for cameras that can be used for photography and video so that I can, you know, back to that whole let's present the best versions of ourselves thing, put that forward. So we can totally talk about cameras at some point too, if anybody's interested.
Yes, we should, because we have two different cameras. And truth be told, had your camera been out when I bought my camera, I might have gotten your camera. But preview for a future episode. Cameras, videos, lights, action.
Lights,
and with
camera,
that,
action. Yep. Yeah. With that.
We'll talk to you next week, Scott.
Thanks, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.